Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the upper part of Kuf Hei Omid Aleph, you will notice several lines from the top, a slash mark, following which is a pasuk. The slash mark indicates that the idea that we will be opening up with today is not related to that which was mentioned in the previous discussion. The pasuk says, "Madua shoivavo ha'om hazeh Yerushalayim meshuva nitzachas." The expression "meshuva nitzachas" is going to be darshaned, or we'll say played with, by the Gemara's response to this pasuk. The pasuk is essentially a question: why is this nation totally or everlastingly involved with backsliding? However, the Gemara says that the nation of Israel provides an answer to this question. Before we go further in the Gemara, though, let us take note of some of our markings. We have a nosei and mivne. Nosei, a topic, and mivne, a structural note, combined in the margin. The form that you see, geometric form, a trapezoid, or we often refer to it as a volcano shape, one of our series markings, is featured on the outside margin. Dugmois shel Chuvonitzachas, examples of victorious answers, Sheheshiva Knesset Yisrael LaNovi, where the Jewish people answer the Novi, the question posed in this posuk. We will also be using a squiggle underline to indicate a ma'akav, a method of keeping track, Achar Hadu Siach Bein HaNovi V'Klal Yisrael, between the prophet and the Klal Yisrael in this question and answer. So as you scan down the daf, you'll notice we've provided in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text itself, between the Gemara and the Rashi, who also appears in the outside column of commentary, numbers. So you'll see opposite this line, Rav is number one. Several lines down, you'll see number two opposite Shmuel, and toward the lower part of the narrow lines, a number three opposite Rabbo Barbarchano. So the Novi is posing the question, why is the nation involved in everlasting backsliding? Omar Rav, Tshuva Nitzachas Heshiva Knesset Yisrael LaNovi. In our markings, we've also emphasized the expression Tshuva Nitzachas, because this is in effect the theme of the next several opinions. So the Rav says that a victorious answer, Heshiva Knesset Yisrael Anovi, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, answered the prophet, as we will see later. Omar Lahen Novi Lisrael, Chazru B'tshuva, Avoseichem Shechatu Heichon Heim. The Novi, the prophet, addresses Israel, do penitence. Your forefathers who sinned, where are they? In other words, where did their sinning get them? Omru Lahen, the Knesset Yisrael responded, Unuviechem Shelochatu, and you prophets that did not sin, Heichon Heim, where are they? Shenemar, Avosechem Ayehem, Vanevim Haloilom Yichyu. This pasuk says, the forefathers, where are they? And the prophets, will they forever live? Omar Lohen, the Novi says, Chazru, do tshuva, vehodu. שנאמר, אך דבוראי וחוקאי אשר ציוויסי אס עבודאי הנביאים וכולי. ושמואל אומר, בואו עשורו בני אדם ויושבו לפונוב. Shmuel presents his version of the Tshuva Nitzachas. 10 people came and sat in front of the Novi. Omer Lohen, the Novi says to them, Chazur b'tshuva, do penitence. Omer Lo, the people said to the Novi, Eved Shemochroi Raboi v'isha Shagirsha Baila, a master who sold his servant, or a woman that was divorced by her husband, klum yesh loze alze klum, does one have any further claims on the other? The analogy being, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has sent us into the exile. He is tantamount to divorcing us or selling us off to the nations of the world. Omar loi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaNovi. So the Novi, who just heard the response of Klal Yisrael, is now informed by God. Lech emor lahen, you go tell them, Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shilachtia. Show me the get. The Sefer Krisus is a reference to the get. Show me the get that I gave to your mother. Oy mi minoshai asher mocharti eschem lo. Or to which one of my creditors did I sell them off to? I didn't get rid of them. Hein ba'avonoseihem nimkarten ubefisheichem shulcha imchem. It's through their sins that they have sold off themselves, and through their offenses that their mother has been sent away. In other words, she sent herself away. V'hainu diyomer Reish Lakish, mai dichtiv David avdi Nebuchadnezzar avdi. Reish Lakish points out, in the context of this analogy of a master selling off his slave, the pasuk refers to not only David Hamelech as David, my servant, God speaking, or but as well as David, we also find Nebuchadnezzar referred to as my servant. Can you possibly put the two together in the same breath? Rather, the reason Nebuchadnezzar is referred to as Avdi, Nebuchadnezzar being the Babylonian king who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we will see in a moment the significance of the term Avdi. Galuvu yadua lefnei mi shomar v'hoya hoylam. It is obvious in front of the one who said, let the world be. Namely, it's an expression referring to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's obvious to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. She'asidem Yisrael lomar kach. That Klal Yisrael will come up with this kind of response, that we've been sold away to others, we've been sold to Nebuchadnezzar, hence we no longer are bound to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who ki'ilu got rid of us. Lefikach hiktim haKodesh Baruch Hu v'koro avdoi. Therefore, the Almighty preempted this taina, this claim, and said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, that you're claiming you've been sold to, Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of the day, is really my servant. And there's a rule, Eved Shekona Nechosim, a slave that acquires property, Eved Lemi Nechosim Lemi, who owns the servant, and who owns his property? Of course, the original master. So that even if you feel that you've been sold off to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar anyway is my servant, so you are still mine. Vo'ila aruchachem hoyoi loisiye asheratem oimrim niye kagoyim kemishbuchos ha'artzos l'shores eitz v'even. The pasuk is a long pasuk, and it starts off by saying, if you think that you will be like another nation of the world, like a regular nation amongst nations, to go off and serve wood and stone, Chai ani ne'um Hashem Elokim. This expression is one of like an oath. God is swearing, im loy biad chazoko v'zura netuyo v'chem ha'shvucho em loy chaleichem. You're not going to be able to do it because I will rule over you with a strong arm and with wrath if necessary. In other words, the Jewish people are not going to be able to pursue a path like just any other nation and go ahead and practice idolatry and disappear into the annals of history, because I am personally concerned with Klal Yisrael, with the Jewish people, and will rule over them if necessary by force. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman responding or reacting to this pasuk, which on the one hand seems to be a rather foreboding, almost distressful pasuk, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will rule over you with force. It nevertheless has a very positive side to it, and he says, Kol ki hai rischa lirsach rachmona alon. Let the Kodesh Baruch Hu, rischa means wrath, anger. Let the Kodesh Baruch Hu show any kind of wrath and anger toward us, however, velif rokinon. But just as long as at the end of the day, he redeems us. V'yisro lamishpot elokov yorenu. Omar Rabba Baruchana. Omar lahem Novi Yisrael chizru b'tshuva. The Novi pleads with Klal Yisrael and says, do penitence. Amru lo, ein onu yicholim yetzoharash leiponu. We can't do penitence. We're under the control of the evil inclination. Omar lohem, Yisru Yitzrechem. Well, control your Yetzer. Omar lohem, Omru lo, so the Klal Yisrael says back, Elokov Yorenu. Well, let God show us how to control the evil inclination. So as we get to this point in the Gemara and you look back over the series that was presented, you see three different scenarios and approaches to this concept of tshuva nitzachas, where the Klal Yisrael gives the strong type of response to the Novi's plea to do tshuva. Arba hedyotis bilam doyeg v'chitof v'gechazi. These were the gentleman mentioned in the Mishnah, the commoners, as example, as people who will not receive a portion in the world to come. The opening topic concerns Bilam, the first in this list. The Gemara will be analyzing his name and his and other names associated with him, and that's what you see in the diamond form. Bilam equals Beloi Am. He has no portion with any nation. Dovrachir Bilam Shebolo Am. That he confounded the Jewish people with his evil counsel. Ben Baor, Shebo al Boir, that he had relations with his donkey. The word Boir is the Aramaic of behema, a creature, animal. Tana, a Tanaic source says, Hu Boor, Hu Kushan Rishosayim, Hu Lovan Ha'arami, that these three people are one in the same. In other words, you have the father of Bilam is Kushan Rishosayim, which was a figure that appears in the Tanakh after the death of Yehoshua, who waged war with Klal Yisrael. And Lavan Ho'arami is the well-known Lavan from the story of Yaakov Avinu. And having mentioned these names, the Gemara explains them. Ba'or, Shebo al Boir, that he had relations with an animal. Kushan Rishosayim, the Ovat Shtei Rishoyos Yisrael. He schemed ill or evil against Israel on two occasions. Achas B'mei Yankiv, one in the days of Yankiv Avinu, we mentioned he was Lavan, and V'achas B'mei Shvoit HaShoftim, after the death of Yeshua at the beginning of the Shoftim, the period of the judges. Umashmoi, Lavan Ho'arami Shmo. His real name is Lavan Ho'arami. Ksiv Ben Ba'or. One pasuk says that Bilam was the son of Ba'or. In other words, Bilam Ben Ba'or. Uksiv Beno Ba'or, describing Bilam as his father. So there seems to be a sort of contradiction. Either Bilam is his son, or Bilam is his father, of Ba'or. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, there is no contradiction. Oviv, the father of Bilam, equals Benoi Huloi Benavius, was secondary to the son in terms of level of prophecy. So that's the explanation of the pasuk referring to the father as the son of Bilam. Bilam, the Gemara raises a diuk, an inference. The Mishnah cited Bilam as an example of someone who doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. It just so happens to be that Bilam, of all the names mentioned in the Mishnah, is the only one who is an idol worshipper from a nation of idol worshippers. So the Gemara says here, Bilam, hu delo asi la'almod asi. It seems that we can infer that Bilam is the one that doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Ha achrini asu. But others, namely other nations, do have a portion in the world to come. Masnis and money. Our Mishnah reflects whose opinion? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yeshua hi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, as will be explained in the following Tanaic source. And you can see a framed section. This represents Tanaic material to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Yoshuvu Rishoyim L'sho'ilo, Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. The Brisa explains the Pasuk. Yoshuvu Rishoyim L'sho'ilo, the evil will go back to purgatory. Elu Poshe Yisrael, those are the sinners amongst Israel. Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim, Elu Poshe Oivdei Kechovim, Divrei Rabbi Lozer. All the nations forget God. This is a reference to all the nations who are sinners. Rebbe Lozer, that's Rebbe Lozer's opinion. Omar lo, Rebbe Yeshua. V'chi ne'mar b'chol, or there's another girsa, k'chol goyim. Does it say like all the nations? V'lo lo ne'mar elo kol goyim shechei elokim. Don't read just Kol Goyim, that all nations will not have a portion in the world to come, but rather all nations that are forgetful of God will not have a portion in the world to come. Elo Yoshuvu Rishoyim L'sho'ilo Ma'aninhu. The pasuk that says that they will go back to purgatory and not have chelik in Olam Haba, that is a man mean who. Who are they? Kol goyim shechei elokim. All those nations that forget God. However, those nations that do not forget God, even if they're not Jewish, they will have a portion in the world to come. And this is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, which is what the Gemara pointed out by inference from our Mishnah, that Bilam does not have a portion, but the nation from which he comes, even though they're not Jewish, will have a portion in the world to come, provided they are not Shechei Elokim, they don't forget God. Rashi, in the outside column, fourth line from the top, says, Masnisin Moni, Omalei Rabbi Yeshua, Elu Ilu Namar Yeshuvu Rishoyim Lishoyla Kechol Hagoyim. If the Pasuk would have said, the evil shall go to purgatory like all nations, Mashma Keduka Amris, that would have implied that which you, Rabbi Lozer, said. Hashdachsiv Kol Goyim Shrechei Elikim. Now that it says, in fact, all nations that forget God, Lo Mashma Elo Oysen Hashechim Eloika. Only those people that forget God, Kegoyim Bilom, Vishekimoso, like Bilom and those like him, Avalachrini, but other members of the nations of the world, Osu, they do come into the world to come. Kinamrina Beresh Pirkin, as was already said at the beginning of this parak, Uru'u Zorim Tzonchem Uvenei Nechor Akrichem, that non-Jews will graze your animals, and the strangers shall be in charge of your crops. Li Olam Haba. Continuing in the Gemara, V'af Oisoi Rosho Nosan Simon Biatzmo. Bilam himself gave an indication that he has no portion in the world to come. Omar, he said, Tomus Nafshi Mois Yishorim, which is interpreted, Im Tomus Nafshi Mois Yishorim, Tehei Achrisi Kamohu, which is part of the Pasuk, that if he dies a natural death, then his future will be like them, like the Ovos. However, V'im Lav, if, however, he doesn't have a natural death, but rather he's killed, then Hineni Hoylech La'ami. This is from Bamidbar Perek Chav Dalid, Posuk Yud Dalid. He says, then I will be going together with my nation, which means to Gehenim, to purgatory. Vayechu Ziknei Moyo V'Ziknei Mityon. In Bamidbar Perek Chav Beis Posuk Zion, this Posuk appears. The elders of Moav and the elders of Midian walked together. Tana, we have a little Tanaith source that gives some background to this interesting story. Midian u'Moav lo hoyo lohem shalom me'olam. These two nations, Midian and Moav, were at war with one another all the time. So you'll ask, if so, how is it that the elders of these two nations joined together in this particular parsha, where Bilam was hired to curse Klal Yisrael? Moshal l'shnei klovim. The analogy is drawn to two dogs, shehoyu be'eder, that were in the flock. V'hoyu tzehuvim ze lozen. These two dogs used to fight with one another, were angry at one another all the time. Bo ze'ev al ho'echod. A wolf comes and threatens one of the two dogs. Omar ho'echod. The other dog says, Im eini oizro, if I don't help the first dog, hayoim hoiregoi, so today the wolf will kill that dog, lemocher bo ilai, and the next day he'll come on me. Therefore, holchu shnehem v'horgu hazeev. These two dogs joined up, even though they were had no camaraderieship between the two of them anyway, but they figured, if we join forces, we can defeat the Ze'ev, and of course thereby preserve ourselves. The same thing with Moav and Midian, that they realized that Klal Yisrael was a victorious nation, and they felt threatened by Klal Yisrael. So it was Moav calculated that if we don't join forces with Midian, then we're both going to be lost. Omar Rav Papa, Hainu de Amri Inshi. Based on this, a common saying exists. Karkushta v'shunra. These are two creatures, the Chulda and the Shunra. Ovdu, the Chulda is the translation of Karkushta, that generally don't have peace between themselves. Ovdu hilula mitarba de bishgada. They made a party from the fats of he who has bad luck. In other words, if they gang up on their enemy, they can destroy their enemy and enjoy his remains. Vayeshvu Sore Moav im Bilam. The Pasuk says that the Sore Moav, the ministers of Moav, sat with Bilam, but it doesn't make reference to the Sorei Midyan. Notice that this is Pasuk Ches. We saw a few moments ago the Pasuk Zion, in other words, the previous Pasuk cited the elders of Moab and the elders of Midyan were together. When it comes to sitting down with Bilam, you see only the Sorei Moab featured. So this gives rise to the Gemara's inquiry, Vesorei Midyan Lahechon Ozel, the elders of Midyan who were mentioned in the previous Pasuk, where did they go? The Gemara answers, Kevon the Omar Lahu, when Bilam said to them, Linu poi halayla vashivoisi eschem dovar, spend the night over here, you're asking me to curse Klal Yisrael, so you know what, spend the night with me, vashivoisi eschem dovar, and by tomorrow morning I'll give you an answer. So Omru, the elders of Midyan, calculated. They said, Klum yesh av shesoine es bano, is there a father that hates his son? In other words, does God hate his people, the Jewish people? Therefore, when Bilam was suggesting, spend the night and I'll come up, well, I'll give you an answer tomorrow regarding the Kodesh Baruch Hu's possible interest in cooperating in having the Jews cursed, a very, very unlikely scenario, they felt, because God, who views the Jewish people as his son, would not possibly cooperate with such a plan. So they figured this is a waste of time, and they left. Omar Rav Nachman, chutzpah afilu klapi shmaya mahani. Chutzpah has such a force that it works even against heaven. Me'ikor aksiv, initially, the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Bilam, lo seilechim ha, don't walk with them. Ulibasof, but afterwards, after Bilam said again, he said, you know, spend the night here and I'll give you an answer tomorrow, implying that from his standpoint, he's still going to push it, that he should be able to go with the Ziknei Moav to curse Klal Yisrael, so that this is viewed as a form of chutzpah, that even though he was told not to go, he still attempted to press the case. What does it say eventually? Kum lech itam, where God says, go with them, walk with them. Omer of Sheshes, chutzpah equals malchusa below togehi. Chutzpah is like a kingdom or a king without a crown. Dichtiv. We have a pasuk that is spoken by David HaMelech. This is a pasuk after Avner was executed by Yoav and his brother Avishai. And David had expressed remorse over Avner's death. So David says, Ve'anochi hayoim rach u'moshuach melech, I am today young and anointed as king. These men, the sons of Tzruya, a reference to Yoav and Avishai, Koshe Mimeni, they're stronger than me. They're more forceful than me. So that they acted out of chutzpah, if you will, as far as this Gemara is concerned. And David HaMelech, who is the anointed one, is viewing them as even stronger. Hence, the Gemara's expression of Malchusa, it is they, chutzpah is like a king without a crown. Omer of Yochanan, Bilam chiger beragloi achas hoya. Bilam was lame in one of his feet. In other words, one of his feet was lame. Shenemar vayelech shefi. We have a brackets that lasts, just encloses the second half of this line and the first word on the next line. After these brackets, the Gemara continues with descriptions of Bilam. As you can see, after the brackets, Bilam suma b'achas me'inov. Within the brackets, though, once we mentioned the idea that he was lame in one of his feet, and we cited the pasuk shefi, the Gemara points out regarding Shimshon, and Shimshon was lame in 2 feet. As we can see now in the Gemara, Shimshon b'shtei raglov, shneamar, shvifon Ale Oirach Hanoshech Itvesus. This pasuk in Sefer Bereishis is a prophecy concerning Shimshon, and the word Shvifon, as opposed to the word Shefi, Shvifon is a double expression, if you will, indicating lameness in two legs. Going back to the descriptions of Bilam, Bilam Suma Bachas Meinov Hoya, he was sighted, or lacked sight, Suma is blindness, in one eye, Shinemar Shesum Ho'ayin, the closed eye. Kosem Vamoso Hoya, he, let us, for the sake of accuracy, just go over a point we just discussed. Shesum Ho'ayin, Rashi says Shesum Ho'ayin has two pshatim. The first pshat that he actually prefers is the open eye. In other words, one of his eyes was open, implying that the other one was closed. Rashi offers a second pshat that he doesn't like, that which we suggested earlier, that Shesum means sealed. The Gemara continues by saying he was a kosem ba'amaso. That means he practiced sorcery with his male organ. Ksiv hocha noifel uglui einayim. It says regarding Bilam using that expression. Uksiv hosam vine homo noifel al hamita v'chulei. Haman, in the Purim story, attempted to have intimacy with Esther. And the pasuk there says he fell on the bed, no fail. So the term no fail is associated with, let's say, organs of intimacy, hence giving rise to the Gemara's observation that he practiced sorcery with that particular organ. Itmar, Marzutra Omer, Koisein Bamosohoya. We have two opinions regarding this issue. Marzutra says, like we just did, Mar Breid Ravina Omar Shebo Al Asono, that he had relations with his donkey. Mandamar Koisein Bamosohoya, Kedamoran. The opinion of Marzutra is based on the analysis we just offered, namely that the Pasuk says, Noifel Uglu Einayim. Kidamoran, as we said, Umandamar Bo Al Asonohoya, according to the opinion that he had relations with his donkey, Ksiv Hocha Nofail, and what we're doing is we're following the Girsas HaGra in this Gemara. The Gra's version of this is, as we just said, it says here, Nofail. Uksiv Hosam, in the context of Yoel and Sisra, it says, Bain Ragleha, Korah Nofal Shochav v'chulei. Sisra, in the book of Judges, in Sefer Shoftim, was an enemy of Israel who attempted to have relations with Yoel. And there you find the posuk Nofal, the posuk using the term Nofal, hence giving rise to this opinion that he practiced intimacy, in the case of Bilam, that is, the practiced intimacy with his donkey. V'yodea das elyoin. The pasuk describes Bilam as having the knowledge of the Almighty. And the Gemara finds this amazing and confounding. It says, Hashto das behemto lo have yoda, das elyoin, have yoda. Imagine this man could not successfully out-debate his animal. In other words, he didn't have the knowledge level of his animal. Do you think that he was able to attain the das, awareness of the Almighty's knowledge? The Gemara will try to understand, therefore, what could it possibly mean when it says V'yodea das elyon. So in analyzing this, the Gemara has a couple of steps. We're going to be looking at what was meant by this expression das behemto lo havi'yoda. That is represented by our first diamond. The second diamond, a few lines later, will then deal with the second statement. What is really then meant by Yodea das elyon? after the Gemara proves that he can't outwit his own animal, then what could it possibly mean that he has the knowledge of the heaven? My das behemto. What is the das behemto that he was unable to deal with? The Amri lay, the men of Bolok that sent for Bilam, they attempted to hire him. They said to him, "My taimo lo rachvis asusya. Why is it that you don't ride on a horse, say a more respectable creature than the donkey that he does ride on?" Omar lahu. So Bilam tried to push them off and say, "Shadoi lahu biratiba. My horse is out grazing." Omro le, the animal opened up its mouth and said, and this is featured in Bamidbar Perichov Beis Pasuk Lamed, "Halo onochi asoncha, I am your donkey," indicating that you don't have a horse that you usually ride on. I'm the animal that you ride on. So Bilam says back, "Latino ba'alma, yeah, you're my animal, but as a beast of burden, not for my riding." So the animal says back, "Asher rachavto alai, that you ride on me, that I am your beast of transport, not just beast of burden." So Bilam says back, "Akroi ba'alma, I ride on you just by happenstance when I don't happen to have a horse available." So the animal says back, "Me'oidcho ad hayoim hazeh, always, from all the time till this very day, you ride on me." But not only do you ride on me by day, but at night I perform intimacy for you. And how do we know that? It says here in Bamidbar Perichov Beis Pasuk Lamed, in the context of Bilam and the animal, it says Hasken Hiskanti. And it says in the context of David and Avishag, it says, "Vathi loy soichenes." She provided for him heat. That's literal. But the point of this is a situation of togetherness in the context of intimacy. And from that posuk, which it's a clear man, woman, the animal is together with him in an intimate fashion. Elamai, if so, that he was unable to defeat his animal in this particular give and take. So what is meant by V'yodea Das Elyon? Notice we have a little bays in parentheses. This corresponds to the lettering that we did at the second line from the top. So what is meant by V'yodea Das Elyon? The answer to that is Shoyodea L'chavin Oisisho Shadosh Baruch Hu Koyes Ba. He knew how to calculate and align himself with the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses anger. With that ability, with the knowledge of the timing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath, if he were to curse at that moment, it would take hold. The topic that we've assigned to this Gemara, the Nosei that you see on the side, number one, Bilam Yoda L'chavim Hashor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyes. Bilam knew how to calculate the time that Kodesh Baruch Hu gets angry. And a second point, V'od B'inyan Hashor She Kodesh Baruch Hu Koyes Uma Goreim L'kas. And we will see more in this Gemara on this topic of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's getting angry. So the Gemara continues, V'hainu D'komer L'hu Novi L'Yisrael. Based on what we just mentioned, that there is a moment that God gets angry, we can understand what the prophet said to Israel as follows: Ami, Ami, my nation, Zechor no mayoatz Bolok Melech Moav, uma ono oisoi Bilam ben Baor min Hashitim ve'ad haGilgal, uma'an das tzidkos Hashem. Remember what happened in the days of Bolok, the king of Moav, and what Bilam said to him. My leman das tzidkos Hashem. What is meant by that expression that we just dashed, underlined at the end of the pasuk, to the pasuk saying, in order for you to to be aware of the acts of kindness that God did. Omar, now, we asked what is meant by that. The Gemara now gives an answer to that. It's a long answer, lasting several lines, as the long answer marker indicates to the immediate, the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line, shows that all of these lines are part of the answer. Omar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, De'u no kama tzedokos osisi mochem. You should know how many acts of righteousness I did for you, shloko astikos nayomim bimei bilom horosha, that I did not get angry, I turned off my wrath all of those days of bilom horosha, shilmole ko astikol osin hayomim, for had I expressed any wrath, any kas during those days, there would have been no one to remain from, and this is a euphemistic remark, the enemies of Israel, but it's really a reference to Israel itself. There would have been no one left of the nation of Israel for the very simple reason that Bilam would have timed his curse with the moment that I would have become angry, and that curse would have taken hold, and there would be no one left. V'hainu d'ka'omar le Bilam l'Balak. And with this, we can also understand that which Bilam said to Balak, "Ma ekoiv lo kovokel," what that which I would want to curse, but God doesn't agree with the curse. "Uma ezoim lo zoam Hashem." We've written those in because those words in because that's the continuation of the pasuk, which is of central importance to this discussion, where it says, and this of course is written is indicated by the note on the side of the Gemara as well, that how can I show anger when Hashem doesn't show any anger? In other words, my cursing at a time that God does not get angry has no effect. Melamed shekol oison hayomim lo zoam Hashem. This teaches us that all those days that Bilam was attempting to curse, God did not get angry. The pasuk says, "Kel zoyim b'chol yoyim." This is in Tehillim, Perek Zayin, pasuk Yud Beis. God gets angry every day. The kamazamo, how long is that period of anger? Rega, a moment. Shinema ki rega ba'apoi chayim birtsono. We've dashed underlined the key expression. Apo is wrath, so it says rega of wrath. Ibois ema, another a source for this idea, or for this time of rega for wrath. The pasuk says, lech ami, bo bechadorecha uskar deloscha ba'adecha chovi kimat rega ad yavor zam. Go into hiding, the pasuk says, and hide yourselves for about a moment until the wrath passes. So you see that wrath lasts for a period of a moment. Emas rasach, when during the day does this wrath take place? Answer, Betlas Shori Komaisa, during the first 3 hours of the day, Ki Chivra Karbalta de Tarnagolta, when the Karbalta de Tarnagolta, when the chicken's crown is white. So the Gemara asks, but Kol Shaita Vishaita Nami Chivra, it's always pale in color. So the Gemara answers, Kol Shaita Vishaita Is Be Suriki Sumiki. Even though, generally speaking, it's pale in color, it generally has in it some streaks of redness. Hahi shaita, the moment that God gets angry, less bay suriki sumiki. Those streaks of redness pale. Hahu mina, there was a non-believer, that Dahave Bishuse, Rabbi Shuman Levi, that was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shuman Levi, Dahave Komitsirele, that used to cause trouble to Rabbi Shuman Levi. Yom Echad, one day, Nokat Tarnagolta, the Osar Lo Bekarai, he took a bed and tied its feet, took a chicken, and Osar Le Bekarai, and tied the chicken to the feet of the bed, the Osiv, and sat there. Omar, Rabbi Shuman Levi, said, Kimota u shaita, when that moment comes that the chicken's crown becomes totally pale, ilte, I'm going to curse that min, that non-believer. Kimota Hahu Shaita, when that moment approached, Nimnei, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, dozed off. Omar, after awakening, realizing what happened, he paid attention to the Hashkocha, to the timing of this. He said, Shma mino, I come to the conclusion, La Boruch Aro, that it's not Derech Eretz, it's not proper behavior for me to sit here and curse this min. Dichtiv, Gam Onoish Latzadik Loi Toiv. Rashi points out in the outside column toward the end, he says, Gam Onoish Latzadik Loi Toiv. Ein nochein latzadik. It's not right for the pious one, she manish, that he should be a punisher. Veloi havile inish nenash bishvilo. And likewise, it's not fitting that someone should be punished because of him. This, by the way, is an idea we saw dealt with extensively earlier with David HaMelech and Nov Ir HaKohanim and the death of Shaul and Doeg HaDoimi. So, you know, Rabbi Shulman Levi, seeing that he dozed off at the point he could have cursed the min, the conclusion he reached was, it's not Derech Eretz for me to be engaged in this. Afilu b'mini lo iboya le lemeimar hochi. Even with regard to the min, to the non-believer, I shouldn't say thusly, I shouldn't curse. Tono mishmei de Rabbi Meir. V'shol she'chamo zirachas v'hamolochim manichim kisreim al roshem u'shtachdim l'chamo. When the sun rises and the morning hours arrive, and the kings arise from their slumber and place their crowns on their heads and bow to the sun as their form of idolatry, miyad kois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Since we're talking about the morning hours, and we also mentioned the 3 hours, the third hour of the morning, that's the time actually that kings get up. Kings sleep later than the general population. The general working population would get up before the Netzachamo even, but the kings were able to sleep later. But when they get up and they go and practice their idolatry, this arouses God's anger. Hence we saw the reference above to the anger during the first 3 hours of the day. Vayokom Bilom baboker vayachvoish es asoinoi. Bilom, on his way to curse the Jews, he got up early and saddled up his own animal. Now Bilom himself was an important individual, and it's a little peculiar that he is doing the saddling up of his animal. Usually, a person like that would have servants doing it for him. Tana Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer. We have the following teaching that applies to what we just mentioned. Ava mevateles shuro shel gedula. And we see this double underline. You see later on the same line, sino mevateles. We have two opposite traits that at the end of the day you'll see have something in common. Avo, love, the love that Avram Avinu had for the Kodesh Baruch Hu is sufficient to void the trappings of greatness. That's what it means, Mevatelis Shura Shel Gedula. And we learn this Me Avram, Dichtiv, in the Parsha of the Akedah, when he was on his way to offer Yitzchak as a korban to Hashem. It says Vayashkem Avram Baboiker, and it goes on to say over there Vayachavoish es Chamoro, that Avram Avinu, who himself had many servants that could have done the saddling up for him, nevertheless Avram, in his zrizus to Mekayim the Ratzon Hashem, he saddled up the donkey himself because of his intense love and dedication to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And likewise, we find Sino Mevatelis Shuro Shel Gedula, that hate also voids the trappings of greatness. Mibilam shenemar vayokam bilam baboker vayachavoish es asano. His hate of Klal Yisrael caused him to saddle up the donkey himself, when otherwise a man of his rank would have had others to do it for him. Amar Yehuda Amarav li oilom yasik odem b'toru uvemitzvah filu shelo lishma. A person should be involved with the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvahs, even if it's shelo lishma, even if it's not on the most ideal level. But nevertheless, it's important to be involved, even if it's for some type of personal gain. That's called shelo lishma. Shemitoch shelo lishma, the feeling is that once one is involved on this lower level of mitzvah performance, ba lishma, he will come to the higher level. Once again, shemitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. Where do we see evidence of this? Shebischar arboim ushtayim karbonos shehikriv Bolok, in the merit of the 42 sacrifices that Bolok offered to God, he offered them to arouse God's compassion, to see things his way, Bolok's way. However, he did offer sacrifices to God, even though it was shelo lishma. Zocha v'yotza mimenu rus, he had a descendant by the name of Rus, who eventually had David HaMelech. Omar Rav Yossi Bar Huna. Rus was the Bito Shel Eglon, the daughter of Eglon, who was a king of the Moab people in the book of Judges. Ben Benoi Shel Bolok. And he, Eglon, was a descendant of Bolok. So we see that Rus traces herself back to Bolok. That's Ben Benoshel Bolok Melech Moav Hoysa. So Rus was, as we said, a descendant of Bolok, and how Bolok could possibly have such an outstanding descendant is based on this idea that even things done shelo lishma, but say positive things, in his case the offering of sacrifices to God, even though done shelo lishma, he had a personal gain in mind, nevertheless it bears positive fruits. Amalei Rava L'Rabba Bar Mori Ksiv, the Pasuk says, and thusly the servants of David said to David concerning Shlomo, David's son, Yetev Elokim es Shem Shlomo Mishmecha V'gadel es Kisoi Mikisecha. Let God make the name of Shlomo, translated superficially, we make his name better than yours, and have his seat, have his throne higher or greater than your throne. Orach aro lememra le lemalka hochi. Is this derech eretz? Is this proper speech? Do you say to someone that you want someone else to be greater than you? Rashi at the top of the inner column says, "Lemeimar hochi." It's from the Tibra Masel. Orach aro lemeimar hochi, chiderach eretz kach shiomru v'yetiv alekim shem Shlomo mishimcha. Valo cholsha daite. It gives him a feeling of despondency. The amrile she godol me'oviv, to say that his son should be greater than the father. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, the bowtie form. This is explained in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivne. We see there the bowtie feature, Shnei Deos im Odom Mekanet Mivno, two opinions, dealing with the question, does a father feel a sense of jealousy with regard to his son? So the question was raised, is this something that one says that the son should be greater than the father? Is that the right way to speak? So, Amarlei, Rabba Bar Mori says back to Rava, he says, the expression mi shemecha or mi kisecha doesn't mean from, you know, it's greater from you, but rather me'ain ko'omra. In our markings, you'll notice how we've squiggle underline the letter mem under mishmecha and mi kisecha. The mem doesn't necessarily mean greater than, but rather it means in the nature of me'ein ka'omra lei. The me'ein means in the nature of, that his name should be should be fine in like yours, or his throne should be great like yours. De'ilo temahochi, if you don't use this interpretation, how are you going to deal with the following? Tevoroch minoshim yoel, eshes chever hakeni, minoshim ba'oel tevoroch. Let Yoel be blessed. Yoel was featured as a tzadekes in Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, and it says, let her be blessed, minoshim ba'oel tevoroch. First, let's find out who these women are in the pasuk minoshim ba'oel tevoroch. Noshim ba'oel ma'aninu, who are the women ba'oel? Answer, Sara, Rivka, Rochel, v'Leah. The matriarchs of Klal Yisrael are the Noshim. So, Orach Aro Lemeimar Hochi, is it Derech Eretz to suggest that Yoel would be blessed greater than the matriarchs? Ela, that's not the intention. But what does the pasuk mean there? Me'ein Ko'omar. It means that she should be blessed in the nature of the matriarchs. Hachanami, so too with regard to Shlomo, me'ein ko'omar. That it means in the nature of. But according to this approach that we've been learning the last few lines since the first botai, it's clear that one would not say to a father that the son should be greater than. Upliga, well, this approach is at odds with the Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni. Yom Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni, Bakoil, Odom Miskane, with regard to every body, people will show jealousy, Chutz Mibno V'Talmido, with the exception of one's son or one's student. Say one son and one student. Bino Mishlomo. We see that a father is not jealous when it comes to a son from Shlomo. This approach is learning the psukim we mentioned above like the Hava Mina was, and not like the question. In other words, that the Avdei Shlomo were wishing David that Shlomo, the son, should in fact be greater. And there is no room to ask the question, is this the right way to speak? The answer is yes, it is the right way to speak, because a father does not have jealousy toward a son who is greater than he. The Talmido, we learn that from, now you notice there's a colon, and that indicates that as far as the source for saying that a person is not jealous of his student, we see two possible sources for that. Number one, Iboy Esemo Vaino Pishnai Ruchacho Eli, where Elisha turned to his teacher Elio, his master, and said that I want to be twice as great as you, and Eliyahu didn't mind that. Ve'iboyes emo by Moshe and Yoshua, it says Vayismoch es yodov olov vayitzaveu. Moshe Rabbeinu placed both of his hands on Yoshua in conveying over the leadership to him, and the emphasis here is on the two hands placed, when HaKadosh Baruch himself said place only one hand in the singular. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did even more is an expression of the teacher's interest in the student being even greater. Vayosem davar b'fi Bilam. Literally, it says something was placed in the mouth of Bilam. In this context, we're to understand that in the attempt of Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, he was prevented. He was prevented because something was placed in his mouth. What does that mean? Rabbi Elazar Omer Maloch, that an angel stopped him from cursing. Rabbi Yonason Omer Choka, a type of peg or hook was placed in his mouth that stopped him from uttering the curse. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a house marking, Nosei Mivneh, Shnei, and we've featured it on the side, Shnei Shlovim Be'inyan Brochos, or Klolois Bilam. Two stages in concerning the issue of his remarks. Number one, Meha Brochos, from the blessings that Bilam uttered, Ef Shulahovin Mahoya Kavanasa, we can infer what his real intent was. And the second stage is b'sofa shel davar, at the end of time, kulam chazru l'klala. We find all of his blessings turned into what he really intended them to be, namely curses. Chutz me'echad mehem, with the exception of one of his blessings that remained. We'll be using triangles to indicate Rishimas Kavanosov, the listing of his intention, Shel Bilam, Bilam's real intentions. So by studying that which he said, namely he said blessings, we can read into it, the opposite, which was really a reflection of his original true intention. We see this now in the Gemara, stage 1, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, from the blessings that he said, we can learn what was in his heart. Bikesh lomar, he wanted to say, Shiloyu lohem bote kinesios bote midrashos, that the Jewish people would not have shuls and places of Torah study. And how do we know this? We see what he said in his bracha, Matoivu ohalecho Yaakov, how wonderful are your tents. The tents is a reference to shuls and study halls of Torah. He intended to say Lo Tashre Shechina Aleihem, that they should not have divine presence amongst them. That we learn from what he did say, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. Mishkan Osecha, you see the root of that word is Shechina. Lo Yisehe Malchusa Nimsheches, their monarchy should not be of a lasting nature. He said Kinchoyu Kincholam Nitoyu, they should flow like rivers. Lo yehe lohem zeisim ukromim, that they should not have vineyards, olive orchards and vineyards. He said keganois ale nohar. Lo yehe reichon nodef, they shouldn't have a pleasant aroma from mitzvah performance. What he did say was ka'aholim, aholim is a spice, ka'aholim nota Hashem. He intended to say, Lo yu lohem mlochim bali koima, they should not have kings of stature. What he actually said was, Ka'arozim ale mayim, like cedars by the water, something very tall. Lo ye lohem melech ben melech, they should not have kings who succeed their fathers. Yizal mayim midolyo. That's what he did say. Lo tehe malchusan shiletes v'umos, that he intended that the Jewish people should never be able to have reign over other nations, but what he did say was v'zaroi b'mayim rabim. Lo tehe azo malchusan, that their nation, their leadership should not be strong. V'yoroim me'agag malkoi. Lo tehe emas malchusan, their kingships, their monarch should not cast fear. What he did say was Vesinase Malchuso, that their kings shall rise above. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Kulam Chozru L'Klal. This is stage 2. As history unfolded, all of his intended curses, or the brachas that he said, turned into curses that he really intended. Chutz mibate knesis and mibate midrashos, with the exception of the first one that we saw in this list, the issue regarding shuls and places of Torah study. In other words, that never departed Klal Yisrael, and it remains to this day. Shneimar vayafoy Hashem alekecha lecha es haklolo lebracha ki ahevecha Hashem alekecha. The pasuk says that God switched the curse into a blessing in the singular. This is in the singular, and we've dashed underlined the word haklolo. Klolo velo klolos. That he converted the singular, the klolo, even though the klolo, into a bracha, even though Bilam intended to curse. So a singular one of those was converted to bracha, implying that the rest of them did not last as brachas. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmanim Rabbi Yonason, Mai dichtiv ne'monim pitzei oyhev v'netorois neshikois sone, that trustworthy are the bruises of one who loves, but the kisses of the one who hates are not real kisses. They're ne'toros, means something flipped over, that the kisses are flipped over into something else. The Gemara explains, Toiva klolo shikilachia shileni es Yisrael, better is the curse that the prophet, the righteous prophet, Achio, cursed Israel. Better is that curse, Yoser mi brocha shebircham Bilam harasha, better than the blessing that Bilam gave to Klal Yisrael. As we look on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form. We see a crown form, Achia Shiloni is featured, and we'll see the supposed curse that he issued and the silver lining in it. And at the top of Kuf Vav Amen Aleph, we will notice Bilam Harasha featured, his bracha, and how his bracha is really, really has built into it a curse. Mirtz Hashem, next time we will delve into that further. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.